In middle school and high school, I used to eat Panda Express before every game.
Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The Ghost Riders.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I am Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. And today I'm joined by Mark Roberts at Mark F. Roberts, and that's Mark spelt with a C. And Mark, the F stands for Frederick.
That's right.
Got it in one. Now, as you can probably tell, I am not Kyle McEwen. Kyle is not hosting the podcast today, obviously. He is too busy out there mowing the subscribers on iTunes front lawns as part of one of his many lists of things to do for the people who have subscribed to the show. So that's why Kyle's not here today. But speaking of iTunes, if you listen to us on iTunes and you can please rate and review the podcast, that would be very much appreciated. For anyone who rates and reviews us this time, myself, Kyle, and Mark will all come to your house and play NBA Jam with you. So please, if you have a moment, rate and review the podcast on iTunes and subscribe to it as well. That'd be great. All right, now, you're probably wondering who I am. I mentioned my name. My name is Josh Lloyd. I write for RotoWire as well. I also have my own podcast, which I do on a daily basis, which is the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. So in addition to listening to this podcast, you can hear me over on that one and you can subscribe to that on iTunes, and that would be fantastic if you could do that for me as well and see what you think, and just a different sort of show that I do over there. But stepping into the big chair today for Kyle, there's a lot to get to, Mark. 5 games today, 13 tomorrow. We're going to cover the players that matter. We're going to go through some DraftKings players for Wednesday's big slate, and we're going to look at some injury notes. Mark, let's look at some of the games that went on today on Tuesday. For the first game we'll look at is Mike Scott for the Atlanta Hawks. He had a big game, or big game for him anyway, not something we're used to for him. 17 points and 7 rebounds in 22 minutes. The main reason for that, I think, is Al Horford was limited to just 23 minutes. He had 5 fouls in that time. He just had 7 points and 7 rebounds. What do you make of what's happened with Mike Scott's big line? Is there anything to read into that for fantasy owners?
Yeah, I mean, in standard leagues, I don't think he's a guy that you probably want to consider picking up. He played well. He had 22 minutes, though. That's not the type of playing time that you're going to... First of all, it's not the type of playing time that he's going to regularly get. But even if he did get 22 minutes a game, he's not the type of guy who's going to give you enough in 22 minutes that he's going to be worth owning. I think the bigger story probably there is Horford, who struggled tonight both with foul trouble and productivity, and kind of has struggled for people that drafted him so far this season. What's your outlook on Horford? Do you feel like he's a buy low guy, or do you feel like this is what we're getting from Horford and sell if you can?
It's really hard to say with Horford. I don't really know what's happening, because the first time he tore that pectoral muscle, he came back and was fantastic. He put up a big season straight after that, and then started off last season really well before he tore the second one. This time he's come back and just looks like a completely different guy. So he was drafted, you know, high, probably in the third or fourth round in most leagues. He's definitely not giving that sort of value now. He's only had 2 games this season with double-digit rebounds. Maybe some of that is attributable to the fact that Paul Millsap is just basically owning this team at the moment. He is the main guy for this team, and he's taken on that dominant sort of down-low guy, although he can go out and hit threes much like Horford can to a lesser degree. I think that he probably is a buy-low, but you'd have to go... You're not going to pay third-round value for him. With what he's doing at the moment, if you can get him for a much lower-ranked player, I think you'd do it, but I don't think... it's so hard to judge. I don't think he's going to jump back up to that sort of position where he was drafted. Are you targeting him anywhere?
No, I feel like for me, he's probably a stay away. I think this might, from all indications, this is what he is. I don't have any reason for optimism there. So I think he'll definitely have some good games. But yeah, I don't think that third round upside is there anymore for him.
No, it doesn't feel like it. So Millsap's just constantly having game after game of big numbers, and Horford just can't get into it. So even though he played 23 minutes, he had the 5 fouls. He only took 4 shots in that time. So he's just not getting the offensive touches. The rebounds haven't been there as well. Just definitely not the same guy. Now, by when we get to January, he might have settled back in and more comfortable with himself. Maybe the fact that he's had the same injury twice has made him a little bit hesitant. He's changed the way he's playing or anything along those lines, and it might take him a few months to get back into it. But for now, it's not looking like he's going to return anywhere near that sort of value.
Now, another guy in that same game that Kyle and I have talked about, but I kind of want to get your take on, is Kyle Korver. So he had 2 points and 4 rebounds. And Korver's a guy who started really hot this season. He had big games, and all of his owners were really happy to own him. And now he's struggled in several of his past games. What's your take on Korver?
Well, you're right. He started off as one of the more unexplainable hot starts that we've seen for a while, just numbers all over the place. He hasn't scored in double digits in 3 of his last 4 games. Now, like I was telling people when he started off hot, I don't think you're going to be able to sell high on him because there's this, like, he's not a highly rated fantasy guy. People aren't, you know, necessarily sold on what he's going to do. So you weren't going to sell high on him. And even now, you just got to ride with it. You took what happened initially, and that's a huge bonus. And you take what happens now, it's a bit of a negative, but it'll end up evening out. You might want to buy extremely low on him or see if someone gets really, you know, fed up and drops him, but they're hardly going to be fed up after 4 bad games considering the start he had to the season. I think at the moment you just deal with it, and I think what his true value will be lie somewhere in between the great stretch and the poor stretch. It's going to fall somewhere in between. The only good thing you can say from his last couple of games is he has hit 4 threes over those last 4 games, which is, you know, his major source of value, so at least he's done that. But it feels like the other teams have sort of, you know, cottoned on to what he's been able to do and the way he's playing and really taken him out of the offense and not made him as much of a focal point, you know, by covering him more. Because obviously, if there's anyone you want to leave open for three, it's either going to be him or Steph Curry, the two guys that you don't want to leave open from three. And they've realized that and they're cutting that out. And that's affecting his ability to even take shots. He hasn't had double-digit shots in his last 5 games either. So that is an issue there. But in fantasy, I don't think you can do much about it.
Yeah, that seems to be the issue for me, is that the shot attempts are down. And I wonder if it's that defenses are covering him in a different way than they were last year. And because he's a good, smart basketball player, he's not forcing the issue. But for your fantasy team, that's not exactly a great trait.
Yep, exactly. It doesn't feel like he's going to get it back to what it was before, but it'll probably improve from here because, you know, things... And it's part of what you say all the time when we're talking fantasy leagues, is that what happens in the first couple of weeks is not going to be sustainable, and it's a long season. So things even out. If you'll have good runs, you'll have bad runs. You might try and maximize it with buy low and sell high and all that sort of stuff, but sometimes that's just not possible, and you just got to ride it out. And I think that's what the sort of situation we're in here with Korver.
Yeah, good point.
Speaking of Steph Curry, Mark, he went off against the Heat today, and you know that you own him, you know how good he is, but he had 40 points. He did that on 12 of 19 shooting. He hit 8 of 11 from 3, but he also added 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, turned it over just twice. That's probably, aside from some of the crazy Anthony Davis lines, we've had the best fantasy line that we've had all season. It'd take a lot to beat it, and Anthony Davis is the only guy who's going to come close. In terms of Steph Curry, though, an interesting question, I think, with the news about Durant, you know, participating in contact practice and likely due back on this, not ruling him out for Friday, but more likely due next week. At this stage today, if you had Steph Curry and someone offered you Durant for Curry straight up, do you take Durant?
So that's a great question. That's a risky proposition, of course, because we don't know when Durant is coming back. But the news that we're hearing is, it looks like things are progressing well, that he's getting on the court, he's practicing. There are rumors, nothing more than that, but there are rumors that he's going to be back next Friday. So, I mean, I don't think we can forget how good Kevin Durant is. He's head and shoulders the best fantasy player in the game when he's healthy. So I would go ahead and trade Curry for him. I think it's a risky move, but sometimes you have to make, you know, calculated risks to be able to win your fantasy leagues. I'm not sure if I'm sold on Anthony Davis, and I think I would do it for anybody else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's an interesting question, though. What's your take on it?
I think I'd lean the same way as you. Now, there's probably be a few instances, say, you know, 10 out of every 100, where I wouldn't, and it depending on the way my team was set up. If I was, you know, really needing Curry's assists and threes, which are obviously more than what Durant gives you, then I would keep Curry. But as an overarching sort of view of the two, I think that, you know, you might miss two or three games of Curry if you trade him for Durant now, that two or three games of inactivity. I think I would do the deal, but it does depend slightly on what your team needs and how you can, you know, if you can afford to have that drop in assists or drop in threes, but get the boost in your scoring and the boost in rebounds and everything else that Durant gives you on top of what Curry gives you. So it's an interesting one. And look, whichever way you went, I couldn't blame someone because it's one of those things where it's not you definitely won or you definitely lost. It sort of fits depending on what you want to do. And it could be like a true win-win sort of thing, but there is definitely inherent risk about taking on Durant because he could have a setback for all we know. But there's risk in everything. Curry could go out and do something, you know, disastrous injury-wise and not play for the rest of the season. We hope that doesn't happen, obviously. But that's something that could happen as well. So there's risk in every sort of move that you make.
It's possible, but yeah, I mean, obviously the risk with Durant is greater. We think he's coming back soon, but we don't know. I mean, he could not have a setback and he could still not play for another month. So please factor that in if you're thinking about making the trade. But I think it's worth the risk, personally. Yep. All right. In other good news tonight, Andre Drummond had 23 points. He shot 11 of 15 from the field. He had 10 rebounds and 2 blocks. Drummond's somebody that we talked about a lot on the podcast because we did have him ranked so highly in the RotoWire rankings coming into the season, and thus far he's struggled. So I'm particularly happy to see that he shot so well from the field. I think everyone will want to hear what your take is on Drummond. Well, how do you feel about him from this point forward?
I think, look, I had obviously Drummond was probably the person that I had the most questions directed to me about the player at the early start of the season, the struggles. And I had people going, you know, should I drop him and things like that. And you know, my advice is always, you just got to hold. You just have to wait. You can't sell low at this stage on him because you're never going to get the return. And things have started to turn around. He's now had double-digit rebounds in his last 6 games. He's blocked a shot in every single game bar one this whole season. The thing that was really struggling were his points and his field goal percentage. So for him to have 23 points on 11 of 15 shooting is back to what... Now, he shot 73%. That's 11 of 15, 73%. That's not too far off what we could expect from him on a nightly basis. You know, he was a 60% shooter last season. So if that stays and he shoots between 15 or 16 points a game around that sort of range at that 60%, then you're back to exactly what you expected from him when you drafted him. The rebound numbers are starting to come together. He's had a couple of poor games in there, but those poor rebounding games haven't happened for about 2 weeks. Things are starting to come around. You had to hold on to him. And if you did try to sell him or trade him away, you wouldn't have. It's so hard to get value for a guy because he fits such a specific team build. Yep. So unless someone else is in your league is punting free throws, because you most likely, if you drafted Drummond, you're punting free throws. Unless someone else is doing that same strategy, you weren't going to get any value from him. So you just have to hold and hope it came around. And let's hope that this is the start of it coming around. And if you owned him, he starts putting up the regular 18-18 type games, which he was doing last season pretty much all the time, it felt like, towards the end of the season anyway. And that could storm you through the rest of the season into the playoffs and become just almost an unbeatable machine if he puts up those numbers, because you've obviously been without those numbers initially. So I think it's great news for his owners, but there wasn't much more you could do apart from hold on and wait it out, and it's coming around.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, part of the – it'll be interesting to hear what Kyle has to say. This is actually where Kyle was tonight, was at the Pistons game.
Yep.
So – we know that one of the reasons that his field goal percentage has been down this season is because they are trying a lot more post-ups. I watched some of this game, but I don't recall. Maybe you saw, but it'll be interesting to hear if these 11 of 15, were they garbage time, just picking up loose rebounds and putting them back in the basket, or were these on post-ups? If they were on post-ups, I think it's a really, really good sign that things are starting to move forward for him.
I didn't see any of this game, so I can't comment on that. But we'll check that with Kyle when he's back tomorrow. But it is good, because you're right. That's exactly what he'd been doing. He'd been taking it wasn't just dunks and putbacks and alley oops and that sort of stuff. They were trying to develop him more to have not an outside game, but an ability to hit face up jumpers and stuff like that. So if that's what was going in, that's a really good sign. If not, and he's just back to what he was doing last season, that's still a good sign for his owners, because that's what you're banking on anyway.
Yep.
Sticking with the Pistons, Mark.
Also in that game, Josh. Yeah,
Yeah, Josh Smith. And this is probably, I wanted to highlight this because it's an example of what Josh Smith does, really. So he had 11 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. So that's a really, it's a fantastic head-to-head line. The problem, though, is he shot 4 of 10 from the field and he went 2 of 10 from the free throw line. So in a roto league, that's brutal. That is really, really difficult to own. But look at the counting stats. That's fantastic. Now, he'd had a couple of really quiet games as well. But this is what he's able to do. So he's put two good games together. In a roto league, say you're in a 10 or 12 team roto league, I've heard of people that he's been dropped onto the waiver wire. Do you think that's a smart move?
Yes. Yep. I wouldn't pick him up. Would you?
No, I wouldn't either. Like, in a head-to-head league, I'd definitely pick him up, sort of depending on the way my team was built, but there's more scope there. But in a roto league, if he was on the waiver wire, I wouldn't pick him up. Look, if Dwight Howard was somehow on a waiver wire in a roto league, I would be really hesitant to pick him up as well because of the damage that he does in that sort of format. So Josh Smith, I would leave him out there. And you hope that someone picks him up. You hope someone picks him up, and then that would do damage to them and help you. Like, that's what you'd be, oh, come on, pick up Josh Smith. You know, just throw it out there. Hey, guys, Smith's out there. He might help you, because that's gonna help you even more by not picking him up and having someone else grab him.
Yep, exactly. I mean, listen, he's shooting 37% from the field this season and 45% from the free throw line.
Yeah, that's bad. That's not bad. It's terrible.
Yeah. When your field goal percentage and your free throw percentage don't add 100%, that's really a poor line.
Yeah, I think Smith is probably the worst shooter in the NBA. And from a fantasy perspective, we talk about volume and percentages from both the field goal percentage and free throw percentage. He's the worst combined. I don't think there's anyone who comes close to having such a negative impact in both categories. And that's
and
two
we don't
categories.
Keep track of this, but he shoots 19% from the 3-point line.
Oh yeah, there are some leagues that have
it's
got that.
Challenge.
And if you've got him in a league that counts 3-point percentage, and I know a lot of leagues will do that as a ninth category instead of turnovers. You know, you might have double doubles in there, but a lot of people will put 3-point percentage in there. That he just becomes an even bigger anchor to your team.
Yep, exactly.
Next, when we look at
All right,
Omri Caspi, Mark, do you want to handle that one?
Yeah, sure. So filling in for Rudy Gay tonight, Caspi played 36 minutes. He had 22 points and on 9 of 14 shooting and 4 rebounds. So as long as Gay is out, is Caspi somebody you would stream into your lineup?
Yes, I think, look, he's going to get the minutes. And there's no one else that's really going to get that sort of time there. Obviously, they're not going to give as much to Stauskas because he's not playing as much. Caspi's the guy. Even before Gay was out, he was the guy that getting sort of the majority of those wing bench minutes. He's not going to do a huge amount. He's not going to shoot 9 of 14 every night, which he did here for the 22 points. So that's going to come down a little bit. But if you want someone to give you some points, maybe hit a 3, get a couple of rebounds, he's worth a streaming ad. But that's about it, really, unless you're in a deep league. You're not picking him up for any sort of rest of season your value or anything like that, because your gaze injury is not considered serious. But for a short-term thing, if you've got a spot open and you want to grab him, then, yeah, look for tomorrow's game. But adding him tomorrow in a seasonal league with so many games on, he's probably not even going to get onto your off your bench anyway. So if the gaze injury persists past this, then I'd look at him, but I wouldn't be adding him for tomorrow because you're going to have so many options on your team. If you look at most of your teams, you'll have nearly every single player playing.
Yep, I agree. I think, daily games is probably where you're looking at him.
Yep.
Another king who did well tonight in filling in for an injury is Ramon Sessions, who filled in for the injured Darren Collison. He played 32 minutes. He made 4 of 10 from the field. And he had 15 points, 6 assists, and 2 steals. So what's your take on Sessions? Kind of the same sort of value as Caspi?
Yes, look, same story as Caspi. I think with Collison, again, short-term injury, he'll be back soon. We saw what's happened at the start of the season, even after that even split they had in preseason, that Sessions was just getting basically no minutes and had no value at all. At some stage you thought, okay, he might be able to have some nice sort of low-end 12-team value, depending on what they do with the minutes. But with the high minutes that Collison was getting, the way that he was playing, there was no value for Sessions here. So again, if Collison misses a game or the next game, it's going to be hard to justify adding Sessions because he's not going to likely get off your bench anyway. So again, it's going to be a situation if the injury lingers, lasts for another week or so, then you might look at it. But for tomorrow's games, I don't think I'd worry about it. Okay. That's the main notes from tonight's games. Let's have a look at some other news and notes here.
Sorry to interrupt. I just saw breaking news come across the wire. Here is Derrick Rose left Tuesday's game in Chicago with a hamstring tightness.
Yep, just saw this come across now. So look, Kyle mentioned this on yesterday's podcast that if you own Rose, I think you've got to be doing everything just to trade him away. Now, you're probably not going to want to trade him away while he's got the hamstring, but once he comes back and has a good game, I don't want anything to do with him at all. What do you think about it?
Look, I kind of pitched this idea a little bit on the last time I was on the podcast. I think if you're in a league that doesn't have games limits, if you need every spot on your roster, I'm not sure how you keep him on your roster. I think you literally go out and trade him for anything you can get. In a Roto league, I feel a little more comfortable waiting until he plays two or three good games and then trying to trade him for 60 or 70 cents on the dollar for what you drafted him. But I mean, the headache of owning this guy at this point, I hope he gets better. I hope he does well from a basketball perspective. The NBA is going to be funner if he's healthy, but man, I'm just happy every single day that I don't own him on any of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, exactly the same. It's so frustrating as an NBA fan, and myself as a Bulls fan specifically, just to see this happening just constantly. And it's always something happening with ankles. Now it's hamstring, and then we had the knee. The guy we talked about earlier, Darren Collison, would you trade Rose for Collison?
Yes.
Yeah, happily. Absolutely for me. Like, that's 100%. Like, if you could get that sort of deal, you'd be happy. And that sounds absolutely ludicrous at the start of the season. If you mentioned that, like, oh, yeah, I'll trade Derrick Rose and get back Darren Collison. It sounds ludicrous, but that's where we're at the moment. And that's a steal if you could get Collison for Rose, in my opinion. Sticking with the Bulls, Joakim Noah did not play in Tuesday's game with that eye issue, and also he had a problem with his knee. So he didn't play. Cameron Bairstow got the start in his place. Now, Cameron Bairstow, an Australian guy, so I obviously know a little bit about him, but his fantasy relevance is limited, I would say, Mark. There's no need to run out and grab Bairstow, is there?
In 19 minutes so far, through three quarters, he has 2 points and two rebounds.
Exactly.
He does have a very nice haircut, though.
It's very stylish. It's very mountain manish. I would say that's the best way I would put it. He's rocking a shoestring headband.
Yeah, exactly. No, the disappointing thing here, right, is that Mirotic didn't get the start with Gasol out. Or no, sorry, with Gasol playing, but with Taj Gibson out and with Noah out, they elected not to start Mirotic, and he only has 19 minutes through the first three quarters, and he. The guy that we were saying, look, if those other guys are out, he's going to get big minutes and he's going to put up big numbers. And for whatever reason, hopefully we find out soon, but Tom Thibodeau, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that sounded weird for a second. Thibodeau decided not to play him as many minutes. Do you have you just said you're a Bulls fan. Do you have any sort of read on what's going on there?
Look, I don't know why. I would have thought, like I've been mentioning this before with Mirotić in terms of, I'd say he'd come up and have a good game. It was like if something happened to two of the big men, which it has now, I thought he was going to be a guy you could definitely look at for big men. So I'm a bit shocked at the Bairstow move and the limited minutes for Mirotić. He's still been okay. We're through here. We're in the fourth quarter. Only 4 points, but 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Nice numbers in those other categories. Just the points haven't been there. He's only taken 2 shots from the field, so that's a little bit disappointing. I still think he's going to be a good player, but he's only going to have short-term value if those two guys remain out. And then he has sort of 14-team league value if one of the guys remains out and he plays that sort of first big man off the bench role. It could be that they just played Bairstow as a matchup thing for Mozgov, because Mozgov's obviously a big man. He's not a stretch guy by any sort of, you know, way you look at it, he's playing down low, and Gasol is more of a stretch guy. Mirotić is more of a stretch guy, not necessarily. Look, Gasol's an okay defender; he's good at getting blocks, but he's not a strong defender, so to speak. And that's what you need against Mozgov. So it could be that sort of thing. So I'd wait and see that if we see Noah out another game, and what they do with it there. If otherwise, they could easily slide Gasol to center and play Mirotić there, depending on who they're going up against. I think that's more of what's happening there, what Thibodeau's thinking.
If so, I mean, I don't think that you're picking up Meritich unless you're in a deep league, but would you, even if you knew that Gibson and Noah were out, would you feel comfortable using Meritich in a daily fantasy league with this, after this game?
Yeah, I think I would, because I think in games where he's been able to have minutes and get, you know, 20 minutes, 18 minutes, he's put up pretty good sort of per minute numbers, per possession numbers. He's in general, not necessarily every game, but he's put up some nice lines. And I think that he'd be still at a pretty cheap price, and I think he'd be worth a look in that sort of circumstance. That's probably disappointed you a little bit tonight, but I think I'd still, I'd still go with him. What do you think?
Yeah, I probably would, you know, especially where we're talking about tomorrow night here in a minute, and he's with 13 games, I'd probably stay away. I feel like if I invested in Meritich, I did it tonight, I probably got burned, and I'm staying away. Although, I think what you're saying has a lot of logic to it and is probably a wise move. All right. In Washington, Nene Hilario, he was ruled out for Tuesday's game with a foot injury. Humphreys got the start at power forward. He scored 7 points and grabbed 10 rebounds in 22 minutes. And there was some talk that maybe Hilario would be out for an extended period. Would you feel comfortable picking up Humphreys?
It really depends on what you need. If you need rebounds, he's a guy that can just get volume rebounds. So we saw that even back in the days when he was playing for the New Jersey Nets. He could come on and put up, you know, grab 14 rebounds and with 10 points and something like that. You know, he's similar to Reggie Evans, less volume rebounds, more scoring. So if you really need rebounds, sure, go ahead and add him, because he is going to get rebounds. We saw that today in just those limited minutes, he grabbed 10 rebounds. So that's something to look at there. He's not going to have a huge long-term value, I don't think, but for the short term, and we know that Nene is not the quickest of healers, he's not the healthiest of guys. He's already dealt with a shoulder issue this season. Now he's got the foot problem. We know how many games he missed last season. This is on the back of him playing in the World Cup as well, so he's already, you know, had the wear and tear on his body, you know, throughout the summer. Humphreys could have some short-term value. It might not just be a game. He might, Nene might sit out a couple of weeks, and then the rebounds you get from Humphreys will become really valuable. But if he moves to a bench role, and when Nene comes back, there's no point in having anything to do with Humphreys in most standard leagues, I don't think.
Evan Fournier has a quad injury, and he's questionable for Wednesday's game against the Magic. Oh, it says against the Magic, but obviously he plays for the Magic.
Yep.
Mo Williams has been sick for the past few days, and he is questionable for, looks like, Wednesday's game against the Bucks.
Now, Williams, he's had a few days off. He didn't practice, but all the reports that I've seen come out that it looks like that he will go, but they're still not sure. They think that the rest, he's just having that extra rest to make sure that he will go. If he doesn't, Zach LaVine will get the start, obviously. Now, LaVine's had some decent games, but he's also had some poor games. But it just feels like that anyone who's playing point guard here is just getting a lot of assists. We had Williams with the two back-to-back double-digit games. LaVine had a 9-assist game. And if he's the only point guard there, he's going to get a ton of minutes, and he could be an interesting guy in daily games as well, depending on what happens with Williams. But from everything that I've seen to read, all the sort of undertones is that Williams will likely play. He's just using these extra days to rest.
Yeah, I agree. Although, if Williams does play, I might be a little bit cautious to play him in a daily lineup, just because you don't know how that illness is going to affect him and may limit his minutes.
The last Timberwolves guy that we saw go out there and play with an illness was Kevin Martin, and he dropped 37 points when he had the flu and then broke his wrist in that game as well. So he played through illness. Now, obviously, doesn't carry over to Williams, but it can go either way. Roy Hibbert is considered doubtful to play against the Spurs on Wednesday with his ankle issue. Again, with all these ones that we mentioned, if these guys don't play, picking up the replacement, say, that would be Jan Mahinmi, you're not going to be able to do much with it with so many games being played. So Mahinmi, you know, could put up rebounds. He could grab you some double-digit rebounds, a block or two. But even if you do grab him, you're probably not going to get him into your active lineup anyway. So there's no need to make much of a move. The Hibbert injury does not appear to be excessively serious, and he's not going to miss, you know, weeks and weeks. We're not talking a Rubio ankle issue here. Do you have any recommendation there with Mahinmi?
Nope. I agree with what you said.
Cool. Mike Miller worked with the starters during Tuesday's practice for Cleveland. Now, that's looking at, obviously, the shooting guard spot there. David Blatt started with Dion Waiters at the start of the season, been playing Sean Marion there. There was talk that Joe Harris might get the job, and now Mike Miller's playing in that position. It feels like it's a fantasy black hole, whoever plays there. I don't think there's any need to rush out in any sort of 12-team leagues and grab it. Look, if Kevin Love's not getting numbers, I don't think Mike Miller's going to go out there and start lighting it up. You're not making any silly moves for Mike Miller, are you?
No, and probably not going to get a ton of minutes even if he plays.
Yep, that is
I don't know if he's built. I don't know if he's built for those kind of minutes anymore.
But as much as there's not a standout guy there, there's obviously depth that they can do there. So they can put Waiters out there if he gets hot for scoring. They put Marion out there as a bigger body. They can put Joe Harris out there as a guy who can play a bit of defense and hit some threes as well. They've got a number, and they've got Mike Miller. Obviously, there's four guys that they can run there, and they'll most likely split those 48 minutes at that spot between them, meaning that there's very little fantasy value for any of that four.
I agree. Carmelo Anthony is considered doubtful for Wednesday's injury. He left last game with against the Rockets. So just something to keep in mind as you're setting your lineups for tomorrow night. Brandon Jennings will not play. He did not play on Tuesday night. And so in his stead, DJ Augustine had 11 points and 7 assists. And he's obviously, we saw last year and in a few games this year, he can have some fantasy value if he gets the minutes. So if this thumb injury for Jennings turns into something a little more serious, Augustine's a guy I'm keeping an eye on. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, agreed. Augustine needs the minutes to be successful. He's, look, the 7 assists is really nice. He's more of a scorer, though, than a guy who's going to get bulk assists. Jennings is more likely to get more assists when he plays. But if the minutes are there for Augustine, then he is someone you have to consider, because we saw in that role he had in Chicago last season, he was worthy of being owned in every league, and he probably should have been owned in every league. And if this is a long-term issue for Jennings, then it is. But you're not dropping anyone of value for Augustine at this stage. Jennings is probably not going to play on Wednesday, from all accounts. But I would say that he might miss maybe one more game after that, if that. It doesn't look like it's going to be long-term at this stage. But the problem with it is he's not able to shoot. So he's a left-hander. It's his left thumb. It's a shooting problem. So that might keep him out a week. And if you've got someone on your bench who's not performing, then there's really no issue with grabbing Orsin and running him out there for a couple of games and seeing what you get out of it. Because the only other option there is Spencer Dinwiddie. And as much as I like Spencer Dinwiddie, they're going to be more reliant on DJ Augustine than Dinwiddie, I think. Dwayne Wade did not play for the Heat on Tuesday with that hamstring issue. Now, Dwayne Wade, we're getting into Derrick Rose territory here, or is Derrick Rose getting into Dwayne Wade territory? It's pretty much the it's pretty much the same sort of thing in terms of a daily changes league. You just have to get rid of him. You not drop him. You got to try and get some value back for him, because this hamstring thing, it felt like it came out of nowhere. There wasn't any sort of discernible injury. It didn't look like he'd come up proper or anything like that. Just sort of like he's got a hamstring. And then he might miss a game. And now it's just going on and on. And this is what happens with Dwayne Wade. Things just linger. And as well as he was playing really, really well. Like, he looked much better than he did last season. But the injuries linger. They're obviously going to be super cautious with him. I think you have to get some sort of value for him in a trade. In a roto league, like you mentioned with Rose, you can hang on to him for that position, but in a daily changes type of league, it's really hard to hang on to him. What are you doing with Wade if you happen to own him?
I mean, I think what you said is exactly right, but I guess I'm wondering, are we getting to the point where you can't get value for these guys? Like, in a daily changes league, is somebody really going to trade you something for them?
I think a lot of that depends on your league and depends on the talent level of the owners and their ability for name value, name recognition. There'll be some guys who might
my
think
question, Dwayne, I guess. Yeah, so my question is, if you can't trade them, if you try to trade them and you can't, are you keeping them or are you dropping them?
I don't think I'd drop him just yet, but if this continues for, say, another 2 weeks, is my arbitrary figure, 2 weeks, I would seriously consider it. Because if you're in a 10 team league, there's a lot of talent on the waiver wire, and you could be missing that sort of talent and streaming guys in at that position and getting 7 games a week out of it, whereas Wade's not there. And over the course of the season, I think that will work out in your benefit. The deeper you get, the harder it is to drop him, though.
Yep,
but
I agree.
You do have to seriously consider it when you get into a couple of weeks' time. I think once we start ticking over to start to mid-December, then you have to consider if this is still a problem for both of these guys.
Yeah. Now, Josh, your next door neighbor, Andrew Bogut, he he had an orbital contusion in his game with the on Sunday versus the Thunder, but he played Tuesday and he had 8 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks in 32 minutes. So it looks like all is clear there.
Now it's always the worry with Bogut is injuries. Thankfully, this wasn't anything serious. He played just. Which is great because he's been really good this season, Mark. Now a lot of people who owned him or drafted him, they could have got him really late, but he's putting up some really big numbers, getting a lot of double digit rebound games, getting quite good assist numbers. He's had 5 assists on about 4 or 5 occasions this season. He's almost averaging 3 a game. You obviously don't want him for his scoring or his free throw shooting, but just a monstrous field goal percentage, rebounds, blocks. He's putting it together. It's just the injury risk now. With that injury risk, and we've spoken about Wade and Rose and the fact that they were injury risk and it started to go wrong for them now, do you try and get rid of Bogut?
Yeah, I mean, if you can sell high on him, I think that's probably okay. Again, I think most of the people you're going to play with know that he's an injury risk, and I think you've just got to ride it out. Play him while you got him, and he's a guy that you can probably feel comfortable to drop if he's out for an extended time with an injury.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much perfect advice, and that's the way you want to look at it, I think, because we can talk sell high and buy low and all that sort of stuff, but there are some guys you just can't do that with because of their reputation. I mentioned that earlier with Kyle Korver. He's a great sell high candidate. You wouldn't have been able to because people didn't necessarily believe it. And same with Bogut here. You can't. It's going to be hard to sell high because he's just been injured so many years in a row. You're going to be hard to get anything sort of back of any value. So you might as well hang on. And then when the inevitable seems to happen, then you can move on from him. Because people aren't going to be in a hurry to go and snatch him off the waiver wire if he's out for an extended period of time because they think it's Bogut is injured. I'm not going to worry about it.
Yep. Lance Stephenson, he played just 7 minutes in the second half of Monday's game, and Coach Steve Clifford said the reason that Stephenson sat was because he wanted more ball movement. So obviously there's some discord between the coach and player there. There's a guy that, you know, the writing might be on the wall a little bit. Maybe if you're worried about this, might be a good time to sell highway. You still can.
Yeah,
I'm not overly concerned about this. I tend to think that Stevenson's talented enough that he'll overcome this issue, and he and Clifford will work things out. But if you were on the fence about it and you were worried about whether to keep him or not, maybe time to move.
Stevenson is a guy that I think is an overrated fantasy player in my mind. I think a lot of people overvalue it, and I've mentioned this a few times on my podcast as well. As I think that people overvalue triple doubles. And it's one of the first things you hear about Stephenson last season. He led the NBA in triple-doubles. Now, that's great that he had triple-doubles, and getting double-digit rebounds and assists is really nice, obviously. But the fact that he hurts you in a lot of other areas, so many turnovers for a shooting guard, you know, this lack of steals and blocks, the horrible shooting, it means he's a bit overrated. So people... you might be still able to get quite good value for him, and I would look into try and get something for him because, as I said, people look at triple doubles and go, this guy must be an elite player when he's not. He's not a top 50 fantasy player, but a lot of people will value him that way because of that those numbers that tend to skew a lot of people's opinions.
Yep. Omar Asik came back Tuesday night. He was out with a back injury, but he went ahead and played. He played 26 minutes. Didn't do much. He put up 3 points and 7 rebounds. But if you've got him on your team and you are counting on him, you'll probably get him back in your lineup. And as we mentioned earlier, Darren Collison sat out on Tuesday night and gave way to Ramon Sessions. So I think we've already covered.
We've covered that. So. Yep.
Yeah.
OJ Mayo started at shooting guard for the Bucks on Tuesday, replacing Chris Middleton in the starting lineup. Pretty much blanket statement for all Bucks players outside of Brandon Knight. Just leave him alone for the time being. The only other guy, that I think we can consider. Well, look, Jabari Parker. If you own him, you own him. He was drafted in every league. You have to hang on to him. And he started to come around a little bit more, even though he has been inconsistent and put up some really poor numbers initially. The other guy that probably should be owned in 12 team leagues is Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had a shocking night, Mark. To be honest, 1 of 13 shooting. 7.7% from the field. So that kills you. But the good thing is he still played 31 minutes. Kidd persisted with him as a starter. He got the minutes, and that's really all you can ask for. you know, from him. Like, he's going to have some bad shooting nights. He got two steals, which is something salvageable from that horrible line. Four rebounds and two assists, which is okay. But the shooting, look, if he goes and shoots 50%, then we're looking at him with 12 points, four rebounds, two assists, and two steals. And you go, that's an okay line. But just the horrible shooting really does affect it. And so he's a guy that, well, do you think he should be owned in 12-team leagues?
Antetokounmpo?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about Parker?
No,
yeah, I think I would pick him up in any league just because of the potential. He's starting to get the minutes. The upside is there. I mean, I would rather have him than Parker.
Yep, I agree with that.
Parker's a little bit, he feels a little bit to me like you're talking about with Stevenson. He's going to be maybe overrated his Kolker because he's going to be great at points and rebounds, but unless he adds those other categories where he can give you threes or steals or blocks or something else, which I don't necessarily see coming earlier in his career, I don't think he's going to have a ton of fantasy value.
Yep, no, that's exactly. He's a points guy. He's been better lately, but he hasn't been great. But you still have to hold on to him to a bit. If he continues playing at this sort of substandard level after January, I would give him a bit longer because he's a rookie. I think you move him on from there unless you get a great trade offer for someone who's really keen on him. But he definitely hasn't wowed us so far. This whole rookie class hasn't wowed us really at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
That does it for the notes, Mark. Now let's get into the DraftKings minute. Now, we've mentioned numerous times so far today that there are 13 games on tomorrow, so that gives us a plethora of players to choose from. Who are some guys that you've gone through it with a fine-tooth comb? Who are some guys that stand out to you as value plays for Wednesday?
Yeah, so just a couple of guys that we've talked about already, but to mention that will be good to get in your DraftKings lineup only if the starters are out. So for the Kings, if Gay and Collison are out, then I think Omar Caspi at $3,000 is going to be a great value. If you use our projections for him right now, which assume that Gay is out, he's going to give you 8 fantasy points for every $1,000 of salary. So, and that's us that play daily games, that's huge. Yep. And Sessions is almost as good of a value at $4,500. We have him projected for about 6.8 points per $1,000 of salary. And Carl Landry also, we project for about that same value and his salary is $3,200. So if those two guys are out, I think there are plenty of Kings that you want to look to get in your lineup. For the Wizards, if Otto Porter and Nene are still out, Rasul Butler is an interesting, $3,000 salary guy. He's probably a little more risky than Caspi or Sessions.
Well, and with Porter the Pistons, played today, didn't he?
Yeah.
So yep, I think, exactly. Yeah. So he definitely, because he's had some big games, Butler, inexplicably big games to me. I did not know he was in the league at one stage at the start of this year, but he's had some games where it's just come out of nowhere. So at $3,000, we're talking bargain basement price there. I think he's worth it if you're looking to fill a gap, because they're going to be down in the front court as well. So they may even move. Pierce may even play some four, and that'll create some more wing space as well. So I think he's definitely at that sort of price, he's worth a flyer.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I would probably only put in your lottery ticket type games. Like, I wouldn't put him in probably a 50-50 or a head-to-head.
Yep.
Just because, he can very well go out and put up a dud, but the upside is there.
Yeah, no, in those
and then with the Pistons, if Augustine is out, yeah, in a tournament, definitely. And with the Pistons, if Augustine plays and Jennings is out, he's another good play. He's listed at 4,100. To get a starting point guard at that price is obviously a great value.
Yep, definitely.
But I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other players that you and I highlighted that are not necessarily injury fill-ins, but that we just think are good values. And maybe just to back up for a second, Josh, you do play head-to-head, or you do play daily fantasy. What are some of the things that you look for when you are looking at picking up players?
Well, there's a number of things that you look at. Obviously, you want to look at price, but you want to look at price in conjunction with production. So what you're saying here in terms of is points, fantasy points per $1,000 or per however you want to do it, per $1,000 is a good way to do it. So you want to look at what they've been doing recently, but what you also want to look at is has their opportunity changed? So the guys we talked about earlier, like Caspia and Sessions and DJ Augustin, their opportunity is going to be different for Wednesday's game than what it has been for their other games during the season. So you want to have a look back and see if they've had that sort of opportunity earlier in the season. So we saw what Caspian Sessions did today. They put up big numbers. Look at what those daily fantasy points would be. And then you look at the cost, and they're almost a no-brainer that you have to go in because they could do that again. So it's opportunity, it's cost, it's past production. It's also opponent as well. So you're going up against the Sixers. You know that guys on the wing tend to have big games against the Sixers. Now, if they're a superstar guy, so if we're talking like a wing player like, say, it was Kevin Durant, who's obviously not playing, then they could be that far up that he could rest. So that's a double-edged sword. But if it's a guy who's a wing player, we'll go back to the Omri Caspi guy again. So a guy like Caspi, the Kings were playing the Sixers. Even if the Kings were to be up by a lot, Caspi's not a superstar that they're going to rest him. So he's going to be going up against an easy opportunity on the wings. Plus, he's going to have the opportunity in terms of minutes, and he's not likely to get rested as they rest guys like Cousins. He'll continue to get minutes, so that's an extra bonus for him. So I think you got to look at all those things together. So it takes a bit of time, obviously, to get an ideal fantasy lineup done because you have to consider all these different options. But it's price, it's opportunity, and it's production in those sort of opportunities they've had previously, plus opponent factors as well.
Sure. With that said, there's a couple of guys that I think are good values and are likely, they're not dependent on if somebody else is sitting out. So Courtney Lee, he's a guy that I always like to get into my head-to-head leagues or my 50-50s. He's not somebody who's got the maybe ceiling to go out and win you a tournament, but he's listed for $3,200. He's a guy that the Grizzlies have, when healthy, have played, 34 to 36 minutes this season. And so to get somebody who's playing that much for $3,200 salary, I think is a good still. Using our projections at RotoWire for his daily stats, that would be 6.7 points per $1,000 of salary, which is a great deal. And I don't necessarily think his floor. I think he has a very high floor. So just a good guy to kind of fill in as your last spot in your head of the league to make sure you get the points there. Maybe more of a risky play in about that same price level as JJ Redick. He's listed for $3,800. Our projection has him at about the same spot, about 6.7 points per $1,000. But he obviously has that ceiling, that higher ceiling and the lower floor where he could go out and throw up a goose egg and lose things for you. But if you're in a tournament, he's somebody who at that price could really, really do well for you. Would you consider using either of those two?
I think
tomorrow night.
I think exactly what you said is right in terms of Courtney Lee. He's more solid. He's going to give you more consistent production. His price is so low because if you look at like seasonal leagues, he's rated a lot higher because of his percentages have just been unbelievable this season, and the percentages aren't counting in DraftKings. So that's why he's at a cheaper price, but he is going to give you he's going to get consistent minutes and give you consistent production. So I like him in that sort of league where you've got to get consistent numbers. Redick's had a lot of bad games this season, but he could easily go off and hit five or six threes and put up a really big line, and that's handy too. And his price is cheap. And we talk about shooting guards not necessarily being the most abundant of fantasy options. He's a guy you can slot into that position as well. And I think he's a real solid price or a solid option for that sort of price. What about a couple of Minnesota guys?
Another guy that I highlighted is Andrew Wiggins for $4,700. I just feel like he has the opportunity now with Kevin Martin out to really step in and be one of the main scorers there. And I don't think his DraftKings salary has caught up to his new opportunity, even though it's not necessarily he's getting more minutes. Those minutes are probably going to Brewer, but he's getting more opportunities on the offensive end and he's playing well. And, even our projection for him, which let me just, hold on. Let me pull up for, I don't think it's too out of the ordinary. It would be 14 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Certainly seems reasonable.
Yep.
But that would, at his $4,700 value, it'd be a great value. And then you include the ceiling where he could, he could give you 20 points or 25 points and maybe, throw in a few more blocks for steals and really do well. So he's a guy that I kind of feel like has a high floor and a high ceiling.
Yep.
No, I'd like to get him into my lineup. Yep. You highlighted one of the other Timberwolves.
Yeah, well, it was the guy we talked about earlier, and that's Mo Williams. He's at the same price as what Wiggins is, so it's a $4,700. He is doubtful with that illness, but if he does play, I really like his value here. So his points per fantasy points per $1,000 is 6.1, so it's a pretty good ratio there. And he's been heavily involved in everything his last two games. It's two straight double doubles, and you get the double double bonus on DraftKings as well, plus the high amount of assists. I think that if he does play, it's something you're going to have to monitor really close to tip off, though. So not something you're going to want to set in the morning and forget about it, because we might hear news that he's out. But if he is going to play, I think he's worth a look at that. Again, we mentioned it before with DJ Augustin being a starting point guard at 4,100. If Williams is starting point guard at 4,700, I like that as well.
Yeah, very good. All right, and that's our DraftKings Minute. So now we're going to look at some of the deeper league news and notes for players that you might consider in very deep leagues. So
we'll touch
Aaron
on these
Gray, who was, he was waived by the Pistons in October, had a cardiac episode in training camp, and is hoping to return to basketball. So we wish Aaron Gray the best. But if you have him in any of your fantasy leagues, probably time to move on. Yep. Gary Neal, with a shoulder injury, is considered doubtful for Wednesday's matchup against the Blazers. PJ Hairston with an ankle injury is considered probable for Wednesday's game against the Blazers. Ed Davis, who has an ankle injury, they've confirmed that he will play against the Grizzlies. And with Carlos Boozer being questionable for the game, Ed Davis is an interesting play, in daily leagues, or as a streaming option if Boozer is out.
I think Davis is owned in quite a few sort of 12-team leagues anyway. So if you do have him and he's sitting on your bench, he's probably going to have one of his better opportunities of the whole season. So if you're looking for maybe some rebounding and some blocks, you might want to activate him and get him off your bench for tomorrow's games.
Yep.
Ray Felton tweaked his right ankle during Tuesday's practice for the Mavericks. Now he's had the ankle injury at the start of the season. Then he had the suspension. He's over the suspension now. Now he's injured his ankle again. Doesn't appear to be serious. He was able to continue practicing, but they're going to wait and see how it responds and to see whether he's going to play. But even if he does, he's stuck on the depth chart. He's going to be battling with JJ Barea for backup minutes. There's Devin Harris when he's back from his injury, and they're going to slot him behind Jameer Nelson. And even if he does manage to get decent minutes, it's not going to be a lot. So Ray Felton, not an ideal fantasy option, I don't think. Eric Gordon will take a week or two to decide whether or not to undergo surgery to repair a torn labrum. Now, it's unfortunate for Eric Gordon. It's unfortunate for Pelicans fans, but we knew it was coming. Eric Gordon can pretty much be dropped in most leagues, I think, now, if he wasn't already. Mitch McGarry is expected to be ready to play sometime in the near future, according to coach Scott Brooks. Not much to say there. Randy Foy has a tear in his right quad and will miss at least 3 weeks. Who do you think benefits from Foy's injury?
I don't know. Honestly, Denver is such a mess.
They sure
and I don't
are.
Think it will be the same. I don't think it will be. And I say mess from a fantasy perspective. They looks like they're going to be able to beat Chicago tonight. They've won some games recently. But from a fantasy perspective, their rotation is a mess. They don't play the same guys every night. And I don't know. I don't know that it helps anybody in particular. One night it's going to be Gary Harris. One night it's going to be Nate Robinson. One night it's going to be Aaron Aflalo plays extra minutes. I just don't think that it's going to affect one person.
Denver fits
And I will say this about – sorry, go ahead.
I'll say Denver fits into that Milwaukee Bucks sort of very hard to rely on anyone apart from a couple of guys because you don't know what the coach is going to do. They're in that sort of mold to me.
Yeah, exactly. The Phoenix Suns are probably the best example of that.
Yep.
I will say this about McGarry. I know it's not likely that he'll get many minutes, but in our projection models, he came out on a per-possession basis as one of the most fantasy-friendly rookies. So if there is ever a situation, just keep that in your back of your mind. He's probably not even a watch guy. But I wrote about this. If he gets minutes, he puts up the kind of stat line. I don't know. I'm trying to think who it's similar to. Maybe Kelly Olynyk, where he's going to do a little bit of everything. Maybe not shoot quite the same, but blocks, steals, some rebounds.
He put up some big lines in summer league, I think.
Yeah, if he gets the minutes, he could be an interesting guy.
Yep, definitely.
But it doesn't seem like that's in the cards. Another guy in Denver, JaVale McGee, he's not planning to play on in Tuesday's matchup. Well, sorry, he did not play in Tuesday's matchup against the Bulls. I don't know, just because of his injury last season, it seems like I don't have a lot of confidence that he's going to come back anytime soon. He's probably not a guy that you were relying on unless you had him in a deep league, but I don't know that I would hold on to him at this point. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I agree with that. Look, McGee, they've got so many centers there anyway. So they've got Mozgov, there's JJ Hickson, there's the rookie Yusuf Nurkic, and there's McGee. McGee was getting such sporadic minutes anyway. The fact that he's having an issue with that injury that caused him to miss basically all of last season is worrying as well. So if for some reason you were holding on to him and hoping that things were going to turn around, I don't think that's looking likely at this stage. Andrei Kirilenko did not practice on Tuesday and will not play on Wednesday for personal reasons. Personal reasons, I think, just means he's not happy with the coach. He's said that he said it openly. He doesn't know what he has to do to get into the rotation. He hasn't played for a while. He's just been DMP CDs all over the place, which is disappointing because Kirilenko is a really fantasy friendly guy who can just touch every category and do a lot. He's one of the few guys in the league where you can consider if he gets starters minutes, he's a threat for a 5x5 game, but it just is not going to happen for Kirilenko with Brooklyn at this stage. Darius Miller moved into the starting lineup for the Pelicans, replacing Eric Gordon. Did not do a huge amount. It was mainly Austin Rivers that got most of the minutes, but both of those guys can be ignored in the majority of leagues.
If you had to pick up one, do you have a preference?
I pick up Austin Rivers over Darius Miller, but it doesn't make me feel good either way.
Yeah, no kidding. Norris Cole came back Tuesday night against the Golden State Warriors. And how do you do, Josh?
Not great. He had 4 points on one of eight shooting, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. So not a great night from Cole. Even if he remains as the starting point guard when Wade comes back and Chalmers moves to the bench, Chalmers is still the guy that you want. I think he's the better player. He's the better fantasy player. Would you agree with that?
Yep, I agree.
Chalmers is putting up some big numbers when Wade's been out, and that'll probably cut down, but he's still going to be a guy that's worth looking at in most leagues, I think. Go on with Chris Anderson.
Yeah, Chris Anderson, and he will be out for, quote, a little while, according to Coach Eric Spoelstra. He has an ankle injury. Looks like nothing showed up on the x-rays, but they think it'll take some time to heal. John Henson also suffered a sprained left foot and is not, looks like he's didn't finish out the game on Tuesday. I mean, look, Zaza Pachulia was already ahead of him on the depth chart. He wasn't getting the kind of minutes that he was last season, but if you were holding on to any hope of him being fantasy relevant, probably time to move on and pick him up when he becomes relevant again.
David Lee is hopeful he'll be able to return for Sunday's game in Detroit, but he most likely will have to wait until either the 2nd or the 4th of December. What's your thought on David Lee's value when he comes back and subsequently what happens with Draymond Green?
That's a really good question. It seems like all of the what everyone's saying around the team is that maybe Green is going to stay as the starter. They're playing, and I don't blame them. They're playing so well. Why mess with a good thing? And you can kind of see how Lee would fit into a good bench role, right? Like he would be able to come in with the backups. He would play with a reserve player guarding him, and he could really do some damage in 15 to 20 minutes in kind of a similar role as who's the guy in Los Angeles for the Clippers? Spencer Haas. Yeah, I feel like he could play a very similar role to Spencer Haas there.
I haven't heard
any official word.
Yeah, there's been no official word, but Kerr has dropped things in. He doesn't want to change things up too much. But what I think that Lee could potentially do is what Carl Landry did for the Warriors a couple of years ago, play as that first big man off the bench, and he'll just get you points and rebounds, and that's what he'll do in 25 minutes, and I think that's where his value will sit. He'll possibly play a role like that, but I like the Spencer Haas comparison as well. So Draymond Green owners, I don't think you need to panic that Lee's coming back. I think that he will still get his fair share of minutes.
And David Lee, are you dropping him in standard leagues?
Yeah, I would have dropped him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. And if just to plug your podcast, Josh, if you would have listened, I think you and I did the Warriors preview. If you would have listened to us, we were telling everybody that would listen to draft Draymond Green.
Exactly. So you can go back and check that podcast out if you want.
just another reason to listen to Josh's inspirational podcast.
Well, inspirational. I don't know if I'd go that far. It was we had a few good episodes.
It would have taken some inspirations to listen to pick up Draymond Green.
Yeah, no, he's been very good.
I would have felt inspirational about that.
Leandro Barbosa was considered questionable for Tuesday's game against the Heat. Now, did he actually play? He 4 minutes, so he's not on anyone's radar. So we don't have to worry about him. Thiago Splitter will remain out for the Spurs for Wednesday's game. That just status quo for them. Everything just remains the same. So Boris Diaw getting more minutes, and then there'll be a mixture of Aaron Baines and Boris Diaw, as I said, Aaron Baines and Matt Bonner will continue to get some minutes. Corey Joseph is also listed as doubtful for Wednesday's game with an ankle issue. All that means is you're going to get more minutes from guys like Danny Green and Manu Ginobili running some more point guard and maybe getting a few more assists.
Yep.
I think that just about does it, Mark.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we finish? I think that's all the notes we have.
That's all of our notes. I think that's about it. Thanks everyone for listening. It was great that you were able to put up with me and Mark doing this without Kyle. Hopefully he's happy with that we're able to babysit his little project here. Hope it wasn't too painful to listen to my accent for all you guys who haven't heard me before. Mark, where can everyone find you?
I think the accent was the only thing that kept people on. I know that probably like 80% of the people logged off as soon as they realized Kyle wasn't here, but like you said, hopefully we gave you some good advice at some point during the podcast.
Where can I find you?
Josh alluded. Yeah. So if you go to Twitter, I am Mark F. Roberts, and that is Mark with a C, just like Marc Gasol.
Just like Marc Gasol. You can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. See you later.
Yeah. Yep. See you guys later. Keep tugging at our heels, watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The ghost riders off the ramp, how we live defies death. Put a conscience in the genre box, stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond G depths, you couldn't fathom what we plan to do next. Turn the music on his head, power bomb a suplex. Minds like duplex, that's a damn good dope duel. Don't forget the double check. Couple outcasts that'll hit you like a Smith & West. Turn up the speakers in the headsets, protect your necks. Yoga flame on this track, rock rappers better stretch or get burned. Put your ashes in the urn, try to claim a weed. Earn, you gon' learn today, kid, we don't play. You'll get wrecked if you beat all day. Peep the speech, we beat G-R-A-Y, theory, make a way. You get steamrolled or paved in the streets. Go, auto. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man. Movers and shakers, we know. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. I know some old ones and new ones, fun ones and cold ones, bug ones and old ones, thug ones consult some. It's really about the ones that stood the ground and held out, shelled a couple bucks or some just to be out. Found many can't be trusted, but hate is uncontrollable, cause sometimes the right thing ain't the right thing to do. And some rhymes with a punchline strike like Sun Tzu. Prime time, Royal Rumble, rain of fire, one crew. Great. We keeping it jazzy, beat so hard I bet it's twitching your chassis. Pass me the rello as I bring you up a level. Find your soul inside the treble, base opinions on your own devils. Wrestle with your ego just to make you feel special. Revel in the dopeness. That's it. Revel in it, bitch. Givers and takers, man, movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man, movers and shakers, we know. Givers and takers, man, movers and shakers, we know. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top. Take them haters like elevators and ride them to the top.